Saving Break Racks Masterclass with Resampling Only. Advanced Workflow for Drum and Bass in Ableton Live. Alright, let's build something you're going to use for months. A break rack system that loads fast, hits hard, and doesn't rely on you exporting files out to your desktop or hunting down missing samples later. The whole mindset today is simple. Design your break sound, resample it inside Live, slice it, turn it into a drum rack instrument with macros, and save it properly so it's bulletproof across projects. This is the drum and bass way. You do the work once, then you write music, not routing diagrams. First, what we're building. By the end, you'll have a saved break rack preset where each pad is a clean, resampled slice from your processed break. You'll also have two flavors, a tone version that's a bit more dynamic and natural, and a smash version that's heavier and more controlled for modern weight. And we'll add a few performance pads like fills, reverses, and verd hits. Still using resampling only. Let's set up the session so resampling is frictionless. Set your tempo to a typical DNB range, 172 to 176. I like 174 as a default. Then go into Preferences, Record Warp Launch, and turn off Auto Warp Long Samples. That setting is one of the biggest hidden problems in break workflows because it can warp your audio in a way that feels kinda fine until you start slicing and the transients get weird. We want to decide warping deliberately. Now create three audio tracks and name them exactly like this. Break SRC, that's where the raw break lives. Break Proc, that's your processing chain lane. Print, that's your recorder lane. Optional but nice, group Break SRC and Break Proc into a group called BreakBus. It keeps things tidy and you always know where Break World lives in your project. And here is the key teacher tip, treat this setup like an instrument building station. If you build it once into a template set, you'll remove 90% of the friction forever. Every time you open Live, you can be printing breaks in minutes. Next, choose and prep your break. Drop in a classic. Amen, think Hot Pants. Funky drummer, whatever fits the vibe. Put it on Break SRC. Open Clip View. Turn Warp on. Set the Warp Mode to Beats. And set Preserve to Transients. Transient Loop Mode off. Then set the envelope somewhere around 40 to 60 as a starting point. Now zoom in and do the unglamorous, but extremely important job. Make sure the start marker is exactly on the first reel transient, not close enough. Exactly. If you start late, your entire rack will feel sluggish. If you start early, you'll get clicks and weird micro silence before hits. This one step is the difference between pro break rack and why does my snare feel late. Set your loop length to 1 or 2 bars. Most classic breaks are 1 bar, but printing 2 bars can give you more movement. And a big advanced reminder here, if the drummer's swing is part of why this break feels good, don't grid murder it. A little natural drift is part of the sauce in Jungle and DNB. Now route and process. We want Break SRC feeding Break Proc. The easiest way is on Break SRC set audio to the Break Proc, or set Break Proc input to audio from Break SRC. Either way, the goal is, your source plays, your process track is where the sound happens. On Break Proc, build a chain that is designed to print well. Meaning, it creates the character, but it doesn't destroy the transient shape or flatten everything into white noise. Here's a solid modern roll chain using stock devices. Start with EQ8. High pass at 25 to 35 Hz, 24 dB per octave. We're not trying to make sub from a break. We're cleaning rumble and leaving the true sub space for the bass later. If it's boxy, dip around 200 to 350 Hz by maybe 2 to 4 dB. If it needs air, a gentle high shelf starting around 7 to 10k, plus 1 to 3 dB. Keep it tasteful. Then drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Transients plus 5 to plus 20. Damp somewhere between 5 and 20 if it's getting harsh. Boom is optional. I'd say be careful with boom on breaks because it can blur the kick and snare relationship. Then glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto, or set it around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1 for a more classic feel, 4 to 1 if you want it heavier. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the peaks. If you're slamming 6 to 8 dB here, you're probably hitting into flat pancake break territory, unless that's specifically the smash print we're going for. Then saturator. Analog clip mode. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. This is where you get that density and edge without having to overlimit later. Then utility if needed. If your break is super wide and facey, pull width down to somewhere between 80 and 100%. Remember, if it disappears in mono, it's not going to hit in a club. And finally, limiter only as safety. ceiling minus 0.5 dB. You want it catching spikes, not doing all the work. Cool. Now we print. Resampling only. There are two good ways. The fast way is to use resampling as the input. On the print track, set audio from to resampling, arm it, solo break proc so you only capture that, and record. But I'll give you a pro habit. Internal routing is often cleaner and more predictable. Make a track called print in, set audio from to break proc, and choose post effects, arm it and record. That guarantees you're printing exactly that chain, not accidentally grabbing a metronome click, a return effect, or something else you forgot was making sound. Now, record 8 bars. Not 1 bar. 8. 8 bars captures the small natural variations that make breaks feel alive, and it gives you more interesting slices for fills and ghost notes later. When you stop, consolidate the recording into a clean clip. And now we do the two flavors. First, print, tone, lighter drive, less compression, more dynamic, more jungle friendly, more drummer is in the room. Second, print, smash, more glue gain reduction, maybe 3 to 6 dB on peaks, more drum bus drive, more saturation. This is your modern weight option. But teacher note, don't plan to run smash everywhere. Smash is best as selective layering so the groove stays crisp. Name your clips clearly, like Amen 174 Tone 8 Bar and Amen 174 Smash 8 Bar. Boring naming is exciting later when you're moving fast. Extra coach note, treat your printed audio like source code. Keep a master print clip untouched and duplicate it for experiments. So you might have something like Amen 174 Tone Print Master, then Amen 174 Tone Print FX 1 Redux, and so on. If you mess something up, you don't have to rebuild your entire chain. Now we slice and build the actual rack. Take your print tone clip and drag it into Simpler. Switch Simpler to Slice Mode. Set Slice By to Transient. Adjust sensitivity until you get sensible slices. Often that lands between 60 and 90, but use your ears and your eyes. If you see a million tiny slices, back it off. If you only get a few huge chunks, increase it. Set playback to trigger. That's great for drum programming, because each MIDI note triggers the slice cleanly. Gate is usually off for classic break chopping, but if you want tighter, shorter chops, you can try gate on. Now click slice to new MIDI track. Ableton will build you a drum rack with each slice mapped to pads. That's your core. If you want the two-flavor workflow, repeat with print smash. You can either make a second rack, or put smash slices on a different area of the same rack. My recommendation: keep tone as your main rack, and bring smash in only for keypads like the main snare, maybe a ride, maybe a crunchy hat. That gives you weight without turning the whole groove into a brick. Now let's talk about speed and why most people's break racks still feel slow. Standardize your slice layout. This is advanced muscle memory workflow. Even if the breaks are different, you want your hands to always know where the important stuff is. So decide a pad map. For example, C1 is your main kick, D1 is your main snare, E1 and F1 are hats or ride energy, G1 and A1 are ghost candidates or snare flams, and your top row is fills and reverses. You don't have to match that exact layout, but pick a system and keep it consistent across every rack you save. That way, loading a new break rack doesn't feel like learning a new instrument every time. Now macros. Because we printed the heavy processing, the macros shouldn't be fix my bad sound controls. They should be performance and mix translation controls. So think in categories: level and density, spectral tilt, stereo policy, and space as an accent. Here's a clean macro set you can build at the drum rack level. Macro 1, air. Map it to an EQ8 high shelf around 10k, 0 to plus 4 dB. Keep the range small so it never turns into painful fizz. Macro 2, bite. Map it to saturator drive, 0 to plus 6 dB. But again, make sure the top end doesn't get harsh. Macro 3, thwack. Map it to drum bus transients, maybe 0 to plus 30. This is a great make it speak control. Macro 4, dark. Map it to an auto filter low pass cutoff, something like 18k down to 6k. This is your quick push to the back of the mix or build tension knob. Macro 5, mono low. This one is about translation. Use utility and, if needed, an EQ setup so your low frequencies behave. The goal is mono where it matters, width where it's safe. Macro 6, room. Map a short reverb send amount, tiny room, short decay, and make it easy to kill instantly. Bass is an accent, not a permanent wash. Macro sanity rule: if a macro regularly ruins your rack past about halfway, The mapping range is too wide. Tight ranges make you fearless when performing and automating. Now let's program it like DNB. Make a one-bar rolling template. Snare on 2 and 4. Start there. Then choose kick slices that work with that break's identity. A common starting point is a kick on 1, another around the end before 2, like 1.75 in Ableton terms, and another on 3. But don't force it. Let the break tell you where it wants to push. Ghost notes are where this becomes drum and bass, not just a loop. Place small ghost slices just before the snare. Tiny 16th note nudges that lead into 2 and 4. Then hats and rides. Pull them from the break slices, and create that constant motion, either 1/8 or 1/16 depending on style. For variation, think like jungle. Bars 1 through 4, stable groove. Bars 5 through 8, add extra ghost and maybe some hat openings. Bar 8, microfill. Reverse slice or stutter slice right before the loop turns around. Here's a fast fill trick that works ridiculously well. Duplicate the last half bar, shift some notes earlier by a 16th. And add one high-energy slice like a ride or crash right at the turnaround. It sounds intentional, it sounds drummer-like, and it takes seconds. Now performance pads, still resampling only. We're going to create special hits inside live, print them, and drop them onto empty pads. No external samples, no dragging from folders. Duplicate your print tone clip for experiments. On break proc, add something like redux for grit, maybe downsample 2-6, light bit reduction. Add auto filter with envelope movement for zaps. Add a reverb with a tail, maybe 0.8 to 1.8 seconds, so you can print a snare throw or a crash swell. Then resample a one-bar fill, or even just a single snare hit with a tail. Crop it tight. Drop it into a pad. Name it clearly. Fill one bar, snare verb, rev crash, stutter. Now your rack is not just slices, it's a performance toolkit you can play live or program into arrangements. Advanced variation ideas if you want to go even further. Multi-resolution slicing. Make two racks from the same print. One transient slice rack for natural feel, and one grid slice rack, like slicing by 1/16 or 1/8 for rollers. Then mix them. Use transient slices for snares and iconic hits. Grid slices for hats and momentum. You get human and machine control from the same audio. This audio version is shortened for playback.